Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And tonight's conversation is with David Barham, administrator of GSA, and Martha Johnson's chief of staff. And joining me in the conversation is Pat McNamee, also a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Thanks, Paul. David, Martha, let's spend our final minutes together taking a look at the future of government. Where do you see GSA in the next 25 years?
I'll let Dave handle that one.
You know, I could probably handle the next 25 minutes, maybe even the next 25 days or potentially the next 25 months. But, you know, the world changes so fast that I don't even think about that. I believe that there will be very little difference between enterprises in the near future, whether they be government, private sector, nonprofit. I think that the factors that are driving us in the world are going to affect all of those enterprises the same way. It's going to kind of converge. People want to have responsibility at the front line. We don't need as many middle managers. Technology has changed dramatically the way we communicate. I think that the future of government is going to be very much like the future of the private sector. And so the real question is, what's the future of enterprise is going to be like?
When we began our tenure at GSA, we took our executives into a conference, and we asked them all to describe the future. And we had a lot of technology so they could describe it on a big board and we could all see it. And the 150 executives produced 150 ideas about the future. To wit, we realized that you cannot predict the future, but you can exercise your muscles and be ready to be flexible the minute you see it coming around the corner. So we became more aware of getting away from this sort of long-range speculation and all the energy that goes into that, and instead positioning ourselves and being flexible and very fluid and able to deal with change personally. And that's really about all we've been able to.
And I think that's good, though. I think that's the right thing for us to focus on.
Did all of them have GSA in the future?
I have no idea.
Not the political people, which are very few, but I can't answer that.
I don't think most people at GSA imagine very much about the future of their organization.
Long distance.
I mean, mm-hmm. Certainly in the next year or two or even five for some people.
But, you know, one of the things that we have said for 3.5 years now is that our goal is for GSA people to be flourishing. And what that means is there's a test for that. That means that on a regular basis, say weekly, they are called by headhunters and seriously recruited for other jobs because they are so good and they never accept them.
It's a ridiculous dream, but you know, it's okay, and it really does speak to what we'd like to see be the case.
That this is the choice, this is the place you want this stamp on your resume, that GSA is a really enhancing experience.
We tend to use, maybe I'm the reason, the cause of it, we tend to use words that are a little bit soft at times, like thrilling and flourishing, because they get to the point quicker. You know, some people say, well, that's not hard-headed enough. You know, you need to be more hard-headed in managing. Well, you know, when it comes to those decisions, we can make those decisions. But people, you know, you don't get anywhere in enterprises if people really have to be your most important resource. And flourishing people need to be your most important resource.
Not drags.
That's right. And you know, we could give cases of people who look like they weren't flourishing too well and have moved into new opportunities either because we pushed them or they wanted to or both, and have begun to flourish. And the enterprise is even more powerful because you have somebody who wasn't flourishing, now flourishing, and so both parts of the organization are better off. So I think we got a lot of stuff going there that is about the future, and it's about change. If you build your skill set, your organization's skill set, your own individual skill set, so you can flourish and adapt to change, you don't have to guess what the future is going to be. You're going to be able to handle it.
Yes, our issue is not working on job security. Our issue and our goal is to work on employability so that everyone is positioned to be the best they can be and therefore to have all kinds of opportunities.
Well, what does management do to make it flourish? I mean, what specifically do you do to take these people who were drags and make them flourishing people now?
We've tried a couple of interesting things. One was a little experiment called the Change Masters, where we took a group of people who had sat in administrative jobs for a long time. It tended to be kind of a pink-collar ghetto, you know, that old sort of trap. And we put them through a program which did not emphasize skills, and it did not emphasize team building. Instead, it emphasized two things: creativity. We had them try out some sort of interesting little tutorials on creativity with some actors, and it emphasized the customer. We sent them off to meet customers and to come back. And in the course of seeing a customer and understanding a little bit more about their creative capacity, all the people in this program came back and knew what skills they wanted to go after. So you have to kind of try different things.
You can't possibly teach me a skill I don't want to learn. And so the idea of training is, I don't want to be too subtle about this, but it's about learning, not training. And, you know, you can have training programs, but you better have people who want to learn or it's a waste of time. We do something, we're trying to do something pretty interesting, I think, and that's create these 5-minute seminar givers. I happen to be reasonably proficient on Excel and Word and, you know, some other kinds of software. I just like it, so I've learned it. And I want to be able to use it well, so I've learned how to use it. But if you're sitting in the office next to me and you have a problem with Excel, you can't make a graph work a certain way, you can't get that silly shading out of it, you can either walk over and ask me how to, you know, what should I do here, call me on the phone. If you know I'm a 5-minute seminar giver on that, great. That's the best way for you to learn, for a lot of people. We're going to try to have people self-certify to be these 5-minute seminar givers. I'd like to see 1,000 of them. It doesn't have to be on software. It can be on big leases. Mm-hmm. It can be on selling furniture to overseas posts, whatever. I mean, we should – if we're going to – the world is – the future is about knowledge and knowledge workers and know-how, and that's where productivity is. It's technology, but it's also know-how and knowledge. If you don't find a way to amplify and celebrate the knowledge people have about their business, you're not going to be much of a, you're not going to be successful or flourish as a business. And I don't believe people are if they aren't able to use the knowledge that they've gained and then go get new knowledge because they realize how important knowledge was. I mean, one thing I learned in Silicon Valley is that a manager is a manager is a manager is not the case. David Packard one time said, "I don't buy that." And so all of us, of course, who worshiped at his feet said, "Yes, sir, of course." And I thought about it for years and years. And I think that to a great extent, he's right. You can learn techniques of management, but you also have to understand the business you're in. And that goes for everyone, from management all the way down the organization. And if you know the business, you're part of the business you're in, you need fewer people as information conduits. You need fewer checkers. All that stuff works. So knowledge of your business and knowledge of the customer are all really critical. And we're trying hard to amplify that, talk about that idea.
Yes, we recently appointed someone to be our chief knowledge officer, Shireen Ramez. And the idea behind that is we need to understand this better. We need to give it a name and we need to focus on it. And she has some very interesting concepts that she's beginning to play with, but they have to do with the fact that you have a computer, you have all of this information flowing in, so what do you do with it? Mm-hmm. And the whole knowledge layer on top of that, we can't be just so enamored with our toys and our technology that we don't take it to the next level. And
she used to be our chief information officer, and I don't believe we could have somebody be the chief knowledge officer who either wasn't at one time a CIO or knew so much about information technology that she can avoid getting hung up
or swamped or overwhelmed.
Because a lot of people would think, well, that means we need to have a system, some technology that'll do all this for you. You know, she knows enough about technology. No, that's a dumb approach. Yeah, you want it as a tool. All it is a tool. Technology is a tool and has been for a long time, and it will be for a long time. We had to think about it that way.
Well, I've noticed that in our talk about the future, you haven't really mentioned technology, how the Internet might change what you're doing. Is that intentional, or do you have the use?
I mean, it's already happened.
We only had 1 hour.
You know, and as Martha said, on Flag Day of 1996, we gave everybody at GSA access to the Internet. If you were to ask anybody at GSA, I'm sure they would tell you at least one thing and maybe 50 things that they've done or thought differently simply by having this tool. If we wanted our people to be great and the organization to be great, we had to give them the best tool available for them in the last 3 years of the 90s. We did.
We're out of time. Thank you very much, David and Martha, for spending time with us tonight. We've enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. To learn more about the Endowment's programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, please visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.